This week we have a couple of items never aired on the Rain Report. Parenthetically, we've had to postpone our coverage of the Amateur Radio Parody Act until later this month for logistical reasons. In the meantime, we've dug up a couple of items from the KC9RP archive. One is serious, the other is fun. The first is an early editorial written and voiced by Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, producer of BIS, Bear Information Service, in suburban Chicago in the mid to late 1980s. It was a time in amateur radio history that saw growth of stateside amateur radio bulletin services. It was a time of turmoil and controversy, primarily surrounding the so-called International Amateur Radio Network, IARN. With a 1989 editorial about broadcasting on the HF bands, here's Hap.
I just read a commentary by Jim Grubbs, W8GRT, concerning a broadcasting of ham radio programming on ham bands. It is as follows. I have been watching with some concern of late the growth of the broadcast of news programs in the ham bands by hams in the broadcasting business. I do not doubt their sincerity, and I know that, according to the strict letter of the law, it is legal. What I wonder is this. Do these programs, some of which last as much as an hour, contradict the spirit of the law? My personal opinion is that the regulation these broadcasters, quote, was intended for general addressee radiograms, like the ARRL bulletins, and that the news at 6, film at 11 style broadcasting not only goes beyond the original intent of the FCC, but might be considered willful interference with normal communications because of their inordinate length. What do you think, guys? 73, Jim Grubbs, W8GRT. Well, Jim, let's set the record straight. First of all, where is all this growth of ham radio broadcasting that has you so concerned all of a sudden? The IARN, International Amateur Radio Network, has been providing informational programming for the U.S. Amateur Service 2 years already, since April of 1987. The Gateway 160-meter net has been around since 1979. Newsline, formerly known as Westlink, has been around even longer. Chicago CSRA-1 began back in 1986, and the Bear Information Service that I produce in Chicago began in 1984. Is Jim just now discovering these bulletin services? Oh, for the uninitiated, Newsline is a 10-minute weekly capsule of amateur radio news available by telephone only from the L.A. area, among others, at area code 213-462-0008. And the Rain dial-up service that I produce is only available via telephone at area code 312-299-INFO. As to the assertion that we who produce and disseminate or broadcast such programming are in the business, nonsense. I'm not. Just listen to my voice and you can tell why. Glenn Baxter, K1MAN, with the IARN, isn't either. He's a professional engineer. Vern Jackson, WA0RCR, with the Gateway Radio Newsletter, is employed by his local electric utility. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, producer of Newsline, is in videotape maintenance at an L.A. television station. Steve Bauer, KC0HF, producer of ham radio programming from Kansas, works for the Social Security Administration. Now, CSRA-1 producer Scott Childers, WD9FXP, is the only one who even comes close, and he just simply works in a broadcast production facility in Chicago. The common thread here is none of us receives compensation for what we do for ham radio. Not a penny. Jim Grubbs, W8GRT, also questions whether amateur broadcasting is contrary to the spirit of the FCC regs, if not the letter. Where does it say, either in the new Part 97 or the old one, that amateur bulletins will be limited to X number of minutes? Are the 45-minute IARN bulletins too long? And what about W1AW bulletins that tie up a handful of frequencies up to 9 hours a day? Are they too long? Well, not to those who benefit from them. not to those disabled hams who have limited access to ham-oriented reading materials or just simply cannot physically turn pages of a magazine, not to those who aren't satisfied with reading articles and news in ham magazines written 6 weeks ago or more. And finally, Jim Grubbs contends that ham radio broadcasts willfully interfere with those on frequency. Well, if you subscribe to that school of thought, then so does W1AW, which has been doing so for decades. When the IARN began its transmission, at least, it gives several announcements beginning a minute before each broadcast, advising those on frequency of such. Parenthetically, the broadcast schedules for both W1AW and the IARN are published in QST. Now, when it comes to willful interference, the shoe is often on the other foot. Such interference is one reason why the IARN airs its bulletin programs 5 times a day simultaneously on 3975, 14275, and 28475 kHz at 11, 13, 17, 21, and 00 hours UTC. Two other reasons for such multiple transmissions are unpredictable propagation and individual listening habits. In conclusion, if you wish to place limitations on amateur bulletin services, then you should propose to do the same for all communications on ham bands to be consistent. But more to the point, on April 1, 1988, the FCC stated that, quote, while the transmission time of some information bulletins may require 10 minutes or less, other information bulletin transmissions may take considerably longer. Information bulletin transmissions have served the amateur community by providing an effective means of keeping amateur operators informed about their service, unquote. You do have three options, Jim. Change the law, change your frequency, or simply turn off your radio. Amateur radio broadcasting is here to stay because there is a need for it. Perhaps you, who have nothing better to do than to criticize such volunteerism, should ask yourself, what am I doing for ham radio that is so important? While you are spinning your wheels about a handful of us alleged broadcasters, a big business and big government are dividing and conquering our bands. Your rebuttals to this editorial are welcome. File them via the Bear Hotline in Chicago at area code 312-827-BEAR. That's 312-827-BEAR. I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP, producer of the Bear Information Service and executive director of the Radio Amateur Information Network, RAIN.
You're listening to The RAIN Report, downloadable anytime from therainreport.com and via iTunes. We'll bring you a fun piece of ham radio Hamfest history that asks the question,
did you ever wonder why Hamfest tickets are usually long and narrow?
We'll return in a jiffy. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
Now, a humorous piece written and voiced by Chicagoan Ken Piletic, W9ZMR. Ken maintained the Midwest Amateur Radio Newsline dial-up phone service for years from his Cook County home. Here he is to clear up some mysteries about Hamfest tickets.
This is Ken, W9ZMR. Did you ever wonder why Hamfest tickets are usually long and narrow? Some tickets even have a quarter-inch hole punched in one end. Do you know why? Well, if you've been a ham for 30 years or more, you probably do. But for those of you who don't, this may be interesting information. Once upon a time, long, long ago, all hams operated CW only. These hams were known only by their call sign, and some could be identified by the sound of the spark or the swing of the individual fist. When these hams met for the first time at a ham fest, they could not recognize each other by their visual appearance or by the sound of their voices. Each ham had a little tag on which was written his call sign. This tag was attached to a button on his coat or shirt. Now, everybody at the fest could be recognized. Hamfest tickets were designed so that the call sign could be written on them, vertically, so that they wouldn't turn upside down if they were suspended from the top. A hole was punched to allow for a string. Tie the string to the ticket, tie the other end of the string to a shirt button. When hams began operating phone, it became easier to use names or handles in casual QSOs. So hams wrote their names as well as their call signs on the Hamfest tickets. Hams continued to wear the tickets attached to their buttons until the mid-1950s, when the engraved laminated badge appeared. Badge engravers did a land office business at Hamfests, as hams by the hundreds lined up to get a personalized badge. The badges were worn, the tickets were left in their pockets. You probably remember about 5 years ago when baseball caps and hats with iron-on call signs were sold at Hamfests. Now everybody had either a badge or a cap. Some people had both. Nobody wore his ticket. So, what's the purpose of this little story? Why mention it now? There seems to be a trend towards hams remaining incognito at Hamfests. I don't know why, but more and more hams are not wearing any kind of identification. With the 1987 Hamfest season just beginning, I believe this is the right time to reverse this trend. The Bear is a relatively new repeater. There are a lot of voices I recognize on the air, and there are a lot of call signs that are becoming familiar. But how many would be recognized at a Hamfest? I would like to see every ham wear some kind of badge or tag so we can recognize each other and have eyeball QSOs. Speaking for myself, I know I missed two Bear members at the Wheaton Hamfest, and I was looking for them. You don't have to go out and buy a badge or a cap. Just get out your crayon and print your call sign on your Hamfest ticket. Then tie the ticket to your button. Hey, here's a suggestion for a survey question. Do you wear a call sign identifier at Hamfests? Yes or no? Yes, I do. And I'm Ken, W9ZMR, for the Bear Information Service.
And that concludes a quick trip down ham radio memory lane back to 1989, in which we featured two items never before heard on the Rain Report. Both were produced for Chicago's Broadcast Employees Amateur Repeaters Bear Information Service, produced by Hap Holly from 1984 through 1989, and for a couple of years in the early 90s. Next week, we'll hear the story behind the recently announced Young Ham of the Year. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2017 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for you who were hanging out on the HF ham bands in the late 1980s, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com. Keep on hamming!